I'm not putting that in again. I'm literally cutting this. I'm cutting it. Hello, you are listening to Busted Business Bureau. I'm Christian Borky. This podcast is produced by the Lincoln Lodge, a nonprofit indie comedy venue in Chicago. If you want to support this podcast, donate to either the Lodge or to my Patreon at patreon.com/bustedbizbureau. The people who give me money every month on Patreon, it makes me want to cry. And this podcast is run on duct tape and peanut butter. Vis-a-vis like
peanut butter.
Yeah, I just heard that saying when I was in Ohio. And I was like, I love it.
Who said that?
My brother. He goes, because peanut butter is sticky.
What kind of peanut butter is
crunchy? Okay, whatever. Right now, I really appreciate everyone who's donated to the Patreon. I really appreciate it. I appreciate getting a little bit of money to sit in a coffee store and do a lot of research. You're listening to the Monsanto season of the Busted Business Bureau. These episodes are not sequential, but I'd recommend listening to the first one just so you know where we're going and where we've been. Joining me on this journey into the abyss are the incredibly charming, talented, and most importantly, hot girlies, Blender Blewett and Amy Doe. How are we doing?
I'm doing great.
Webster's dictionary defines Blender as that bitch.
You are so real for that.
Oh, I was about to reach across the table with my extendable arm and go slap.
Extendable arm?
Yeah, I've never unscrewed it for you.
Inspector Gadget.
Inspect her gadget, thank you.
Inspect them gadget.
Stop trying to misgender me.
Today's episode.
Wait, can I just?
Yes.
So, what? Why are you already laughing?
Let's know about some bullshit.
Okay, so my boyfriend and I recently dog sat this very cute dog, and they have human and dog peanut butter jars.
Yeah.
One of them is very clearly labeled, but both of them are Jif brand, Super Chunk.
This is what you had to stop the presses for.
I just never heard of Super Chunk peanut butter before.
I too have never heard of Super Chunk.
It was mostly nuts. like, I mean, okay, all peanut butter is like mostly nuts, but like they were visible nuts. Like the it was nutting. Like the nuttage in this peanut butter. It was like Rocky Road ice cream, except it's all rock. No road. It's like how you take your cereal. It's just slightly wet.
I hope there's a listener out there for whom this is not landing. It's just not vibing on the same frequency as us.
And I just wanted to say that. So you know, anybody out there who's a Super Chunk stan?
My first thought was how brave it is for you to come out as having a boyfriend on this podcast.
What?
How bravely heterosexual of you.
Oddly straight of you. But right.
We'll see how that one's received.
That's the only reason I get hate on this podcast. Out of all the things I've said over the past 7 hours, that's what's going to get me hate.
Okay. Today's episode. Today, we're going to be answering a question that's been on my mind the entire time. It's sort of a coda to the first question, how is this possible? My question is, what finally did Monsanto win? What did the girlies in? Mm-hmm. Why did Bayer purchase the company in 2016-ish? What was the fall from grace? Now, there actually is an answer to this question. Like, okay. There is one thing, and we have sort of talked about it, and I would love to hear your guesses. So it could be something like the warmongering, the environmental degradation, the manipulation of FDA data, the advocacy against GMO labeling, herbicides, the disastrous philanthropy and PR strategies, animal abuse. One of these is, it's a compound of all of those things, obviously, but one of them is actually the answer. Any guesses?
Is it that one farmer who won a lawsuit?
Ooh, no, but good guess.
Okay, damn.
It's spiritually similar to that.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Spiritually similar? I mean, I was going to say that it has something to do with how litigious they are.
No. So what actually does them in is the Roundup Ready herbicides.
Oh.
And the subsequent litigation from the Roundup Ready herbicides. Wow. Mostly focused on one person, which is why I say spiritually similar. So,
But a question I have is like, Is it like a loss to have your company be acquired? Because I'm assuming that the people in charge still got a lot of money out of the deal.
Yes. Philosophically speaking,
right.
You are correct.
Okay.
But Monsanto was losing a lot of market share up until its end in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Like the girlies were...
The company was already in decline. Okay, that makes sense.
And it's difficult to say, like, oh, wow, they were doing, it's not like they were close to bankruptcy at all.
Okay.
It was nothing like that. But still, given that how powerful it was kind of this weird fall from grace where it's like, oh, this is surprising.
Right. Yeah.
You're no longer the emperor of the world.
Yeah.
So, in a way, this episode's kind of a part two to the Roundup episode, which is so stupid because this is part seven of an eight-part series. It's like a fucking MCU movie. But there's, again, a variety of factors precipitating the transformation of Monsanto from global agritech giant to evil little Rumpelstiltskin who's trying to poison the well.
Guess my name.
I could make the entire episode about the Roundup herbicide, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the advocacy happening on a global scale against Monsanto at this point. Mm-hmm. So before we talk about the herbicide and subsequent lawsuits, let's talk about some ladies. The first person's name is Liddy Peck, the honey lady.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, Liddy.
Now, Liddy is a woman who can beekeep with her bare fucking hands.
Okay.
Badass. Let's start there.
The woman king in theaters now.
B movie in theaters as of many years ago.
She can use the inside of logs to naturally beekeep, and she beekeeps this rare kind that doesn't have any stingers. Whoa. She is an indigenous Mayan woman living in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, preserving the natural landscape and making a living beekeeping and making honey. She's far from the only person who depends on honey as a way of life. This is a fairly common thing over there. And she specifically, once again, keeps the, Melipona beechi. Which is the species of bee that's native to the area that has no stingers. In the year 2000, Monsanto started growing experimental GM plant lots, genetically modified plant lots, around where she is. Mm. Initially relatively small, the plots of land grew massively by 2012. Mm. By this point, I believe Monsanto had compounded this throughout the entirety of this environmental degradation. But by 2012, the state lost nearly 94,000 acres of forest for commercial farming.
Right.
So Monsanto's part of that. I don't think they're the entire 94,000. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to click the second link in the description of this podcast to watch the 4-minute video sort of describing it, because it's awe-inspiring to see the entire, like, the scope of it from, like, a drone shot. It's a completely different thing to see footage of it. Anyways, Monsanto had begun blasting Roundup herbicides all over the area, like in a plane, blasting it down, which was directly killing bees. They noticed the correlation immediately that the bees were dying. But knowing goddamn well that nobody legally cares about bees, Letty was fired up and needed an alternate strategy to stop this degradation from happening at her back door. She gets scientists, activists, lawyers, and dedicates her life to being mad about it and working against Monsanto's growing influence in the area. And a theme that arises is people constantly underestimate her because she's an indigenous woman who lives in a rural area. But she's incredibly charismatic, articulate. I encourage you to watch the video. Like, she is just awe-inspiring to watch. So their legal strategy wound up centering on the fact that Mexico actually has a law stating that indigenous folks have to be contacted before giving permits like this to companies like Monsanto. Mm. If it could affect their land, they need to provide consent. This is just a thing that's been written in some sort of Mexican legal document. So she takes this to court again and again, which I'm flattening for the sake of time. But as we've remembered in previous episodes, it's not easy to dedicate your life suing Monsanto.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to dedicate your life to being mad.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
And being mad over this remote corner of the world that not a lot of people will give attention to.
Right.
So in 2017, the Mexican court unanimously voted to revoke Monsanto's permit, effectively stopping their involvement in the area. This is not overall completely rosy. Like, there's still corruption. There's still, you know, backdoor stuff going on. But this is a massive fucking victory that sets an important legal precedent going forward. That you cannot do this sort of thing. Monsanto is gone. They don't have a fucking permit. While leaving the courtroom, there's a recording of a Monsanto lawyer going, quote, "Oh, I can't believe this little woman beat us."
No. What an evil thing to say.
Evil shit. Remember how we were vaguely sympathetic to some Monsanto employees last episode?
Yeah.
Like,
boo.
No, this is cartoon evil.
Oh my God.
He's like twirling a mustache. I can't believe if this little woman beat us.
Literally.
I'll get him next time.
I know. There's a big hunky crony.
Foiled for once.
Peck received a Goldman Prize for Environmental Protection in 2020, and her final quote in the video is the thing that she wants to let the world know. They said, "What do you want the world to know?" She said, quote, "The Mayans are alive, and the Mayans are fighting. Ooh. It's a fight for life."
Goddamn.
Yeah.
That's some good shit.
It is some good soup that we are starting off on.
There we are.
Delicious.
Yeah, how's the flavor profile?
I'm loving it. The spices, perfection. The aroma, oh my, to the heaven. The presentation and the plating, couldn't be better. 10 out of 10 Michelin stars.
Thank you. Is there 10? I thought there was
no, one. There's three.
I don't know there was five. Anything.
I also did not know.
You're right. I think there are five, actually.
Oh, I wound up being right. This
10
is
out of five Michelin stars.
Gordon Ramsay nuts every time he walks in there. Speaking of...
Jeez,
sorry.
There was no reason for me to say that. That should have been an inside thought. It became an outside thought.
She's the reason the Contessa is barefoot.
Okay. Speaking of Mayans, we're visiting Guatemala now. You laugh every time I go speaking of blank. Let's talk about blank. In 2013-ish in Guatemala, the government had proposed, and I believe briefly passed, a bill that has been retroactively named the Monsanto Law. Mm. It would grant intellectual property rights over certain varieties of corn and other crops, which amounts to a few multinational companies like owning all the shit there. The bill is basically like the Guatemalan government will recognize your right to own a variety of crop. From a write-up in the Global Nonviolent Action Database, quote, privatized seeds were seeds that had been specifically bred or genetically modified by an individual, group, or corporation. They're like defining the terms of the law. The ownership of patented or copyrighted seed varieties belonged to whomever created the new seed variety. The ownership of the new seed variety included the offspring of seeds bred with the privatized seed and non-privatized seed. Patents for seeds lasted 20 to 25 years. The Monsanto law outlawed the replanting, transportation, or selling of privatized seeds and made these actions punishable by 1 to 4 years in jail. Whoa. And a fine of up to $1,300.
Oh my God.
Which in a rural farming community is fucking nuts. Like that's...
Yeah, that's crazy money.
An unachievable amount of money for breaking the patent laws.
Right. And that's in U.S. dollars, right?
Yes, that's in U.S.
Oh
dollars.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Right? It's 1,000 to 10,000 quetzals.
Okay.
What?
My quetzals.
I'm clutching my quetzals.
It's crack prices.
How will I, a former, afford my weekly crack?
Somebody told me that their favorite through line of this podcast is you saying you're a drug dealer. I think it was Alex Wood.
The only drug I deal is love, baby.
Yikes.
I'm running out to cut that.
Okay, never mind. I'll go back to Quaaludes.
Once again, it's Mayan women who are living in Guatemala, this time who organize en masse to protest the fuck out of this. For 10 days leading up to either the passing of the bill or like a discussion of the bill or something, some 20,000 people get into the streets of Guatemala City and do the damn thing. Clogging up roadways, chanting, doing the speeches, all that good stuff. And this was not in vain. The government did not go through with the Monsanto law. Goodbye, IP rights over seeds like that in Guatemala. Again, it's not the rosiest victory because every day is a battle. You get it. But holy shit. They did it. They did the thing. What is also happening in 2013 is the inaugural Global March Against Monsanto. Have we heard?
Amazing.
We have not.
Have I heard the word?
Amen. It is a Sunday.
It is a Sunday. A little peek behind the curtain. We record on Sundays. We're going to talk about a woman named Tammy Canal who lives in California around 2012. So in California, circa 2012, a ballot measure called Prop 37 lands into the hands of voters. Mm. Quote, the purpose of this measure is to create and enforce the fundamental right of the people of California to be fully informed about whether the food they purchase and eat is genetically engineered and not misbranded as natural so that they can choose for themselves whether to purchase and eat such foods. It shall be liberally construed to fulfill this purpose. Mm. That's what the ballot measure is.
Okay.
Should we label foods as genetically modified?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to get to both sides on it, but the people against food labeling argue that something, the food's going to be more expensive if you have to, like, change the labeling. There's going to be frivolous lawsuits against small farmers. A lot of made-up problems inside of people's heads.
Yeah.
People on the pro-labeling side argue that consumers have a right to know and understand what they're feeding themselves. And food costs will simply not go up because food is, and pardon me for simplifying it, already labeled. Let's look at the campaign contributions on each side and decide for ourselves what interests are being represented. So, the organization in support of California's right to know... I'm sorry, I completely misread what I was trying to read. As of November 6, 2012, the pro side had $9.2 million in campaign contribution and support. The anti-GMO labeling side had $46 million in oppositions. The top donors, I'm just going to cherry pick a few of them. On the pro side, we've got Amy's Kitchen. I don't know if you're familiar.
Shout out.
Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps, Nature's Path Foods, Organic Consumers Fund. Stuff like that. On the opponents, the number one contributor to the anti-labeling of GMOs at $8 million is the Monsanto Company. PepsiCo donated $2 million. Kraft Food, $2 million. BASF, $2 million. Bayer, $2 million. Dow, $2 million. Damn. Syngenta, $2 million. Coca-Cola, $1,700,000. So if we can imagine, this bill was a resounding failure. Voters voted no because there was just a direct campaign telling you don't say yes to this. So a common thread we can imagine of controlling what people think and whatever. Tammy Monroe Canal, a mother who wants to know what she's feeding her kids, gets so fucking mad about it, she starts a Facebook page. It's 2013.
As one does.
As one does. Apparently, she is just a prolific Facebooker because she gets like 90,000 likes within a relatively short span.
Okay.
Listen, moms on Facebook are a... moms on Facebook and... Mayan women.
Shaking hands emoji. Yeah, apparently cannot be stopped. I am terrified of the awe-inspiring power of moms on Facebook. I fear that they will one day come for me, and I will not be ready.
The day you do an episode on go-go squeezes and Montessori schools is when they will come for you.
Good reference. That was tight.
Thank you. I didn't know until literally a couple days ago that on the bottom of go-go squeezes, they have jokes like on popsicles.
Well, do you remember any of the jokes?
No.
Oh, well. Sorry. Listen, I'm always in for a good like little knock knock joke or a little,
yeah.
Knock knock.
Who's there? Oh, that's
fuck
what I
you,
call
man.
Timing, baby.
We got ding dong ditched, and there's not even a door. Oh, I feel so abandoned right now.
Well, you know who's not feeling abandoned is Tammy Monroe Canal.
Yeah, with her 19,000 likes.
90,000, thank you very much. And activists start to take notice of her, and she is credited as being the inventor of the March Against Monsanto, but it is a convalescing of a lot of activist interests. You know how people just sort of need to pick the one person who's like a normie to then center a lot of activism around?
Yeah.
Like this is the one woman struggle against Monsanto. Like that's sort of what happens here, which is not to discredit her work. Like obviously there's a lot she's doing, but that is also something I needed to mention. So because activists start taking notice of her, they organize the Worldwide March Against Monsanto, which has it's participated in by some like 400 cities around the world, most of which in the United States. The event happens twice in 2013, which is hilarious to have a march twice in a year. And then annually in 2014 and 2015. As you can imagine, this is not awesome for Monsanto. While it's hard to say that this group of marchers like took down Monsanto, it certainly does not help when the public conversations about this company are skewing quite negative, especially at a time where they're not doing well in other regards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You understand? I also find it quite touching some of the March Against Monsanto's funding sources, including Occupy Earth Now. There's a variety of like environmental groups. Mm-hmm. Occupy Monsanto, progressive journalism, not-profit organizations, and the Children of Vietnam Veterans Health Alliance.
Aww.
I know.
That's cute. I like that.
It's cute. And I hesitate to use the word cute. Touching. I'm going to keep using the word. That's adorable. The Vietnam Veterans Health Alliance. So the temperature of Monsanto at this time in North America is not awesome. So what plays out is sort of like, you know the scene in Avatar: The Last Airbender? Are you familiar? I know that Dev's obviously familiar.
Yeah. It depends. Start describing and I will say yes or no.
Azula's got this big drill, okay, and she's trying to get into the Earth Kingdom, and they got to take down this drill. And they initially start weakening a bunch of the metal bolts that are holding the drill up. Mm-hmm. They realize they can't take it down by just doing that, so then Toph goes to the back and is like clogging up the waterway, mm-hmm. and then Katara's doing something else, and then Aang needs to like strike the final blow. Mm-hmm. What has happened up until this point, all of this global activism, is sort of the Toph and Katara mm-hmm. part. Mm-hmm. And the Aang part, the final blow that is going... So were you ever familiar?
No.
The market.
But But I can imagine the scene, and you did a very good job describing it. So I'm in on there.
That was a really good description.
Yeah.
It was vivid for me.
Well, it's vivid because you've seen it. I knew you've seen it. I love Avatar: The Last Airbender.
You too?
Need a sidebar.
Yes, you do.
I've kind of started doing a yearly watch of it, and I think it's like around that time.
It's good. It's good for serotonin purposes.
Right. Yeah. I love that show. I love Toph. She was such an awakening.
Oh my God, Toph is. Jesus Christ.
So here's the Aang final blow. The overwhelming amount of Roundup herbicide-related lawsuits proliferating in the United States around this time, in like the 2014-2018 area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helped in this part by Carrie Gilliam's diligent reporting, all put into her book, The Monsanto Papers, Deadly Secrets, Corporate Corruption, and One Man's Search for Justice.
Whoa. Ooh, good title.
Yeah, great title. The protagonist of this book is a man named Dwayne Lee Johnson. We're calling him Lee for this podcast, and prepare to fall in love once again with a new character.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
You know, that's kind of why it's hard to find stuff about this lawsuit, because you type in Dwayne Johnson. Now, Dwayne Johnson does not have an E in there, but Dwayne does. But okay. Still, when you type in Dwayne, like, The Rock comes up.
Yeah, Google's like, did you mean?
Literally, I was trying to look up an image of him so I could show the two of you, and then it was like, did you mean?
The Rock.
There's a running theme on this podcast of women painting really touching, intimate portraits of men like that then we all fall in love with.
Oh, that man with the plum.
Yeah. Right. Anyways, Lee faced a considerable amount of obstacles as a child. His father was absent, he struggled financially, and he found himself in and out of trouble at every turn. He married his wife, Araceli, and had a few kids, still struggling to stay afloat. He briefly considers a career in music.
Okay.
Despite his hardships, he still loves, he fiercely loves his family, and gets a forearm tattoo that reads, Blessings for the Righteous.
Mm.
Nice tattoo. Blessings indeed, as he eventually gets a job as a groundskeeper at either a middle school or an elementary school. I should know this, and I forgot which one it was.
A school.
A school in Northern California. He's got to wake up at the crack of dawn and break his back all day, but this job combined with his wife's part-time gigs actually pulled them into such a condition where they could afford a vacation every now and then, securely house and clothe their kids, et cetera, et cetera. Comforts that were not previously available to them is what this job has now afforded them. Gilliam describes Lee's job at the school as such. Quote, whether it was trapping rats and raccoons, painting walls, installing irrigation pipe, or applying insecticides to wipe out armies of ants and herbicides to kill off invasive plants, Lee was one of the school district's go-to guys for getting the dirty work done. I don't know if you two have ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but it's major Charlie work vibes happening. Does that reference land, or were you laughing politely?
I know Charlie. No, because
That's literally a great impression.
So
Lee is doing major Charlie work in order to secure this life that he struggled and clawed for. He's 5'9", about 165 pounds. Hot. He describes himself as handsome.
What are these trading card statistics? What's his batting average?
For me, he's batting 1,000.
You love a short king. You love an under 6 foot king, I've noticed.
Listen. He's always liked sports and baseball, and he has a physically demanding job. Like, he is athletic, which is important later, obviously. Part of his job is to mix a baffling amount of chemicals and spray down the hills before the schools. Like, he sprays down the hills before the schools and campuses each morning, which is tolling as fuck. So to make a long motherfucking story short, one morning he's putting this giant mix of chemicals in the back of the truck. While driving, something comes loose. Some kind of accident is happening. Mm-hmm. Chemicals are gushing out of this thing. Like, it is just pissing chemicals. It's a geyser. He does not want that to infect the school.
Yeah.
So the only way to stop it is to go in. He's wearing full PPE, but he jumps basically just into the wet to stop the wet from happening. Consequently, despite being in his protective gear, he basically is fully bathed in these chemicals in order to fix the problem, which he did fix the problem.
Right.
He solved it. He put a bunch of dirt on it. Like, it did not poison the waterway of the school. He hoses the stuff off and washes it with soap and water, determined not to think too hard about it.
Oh, God, no.
It's like, same.
It's like, if you don't think about it, it can't hurt you.
Exactly.
It's like, if you don't see the poison.
Literally, he's like, I pretend to not see. And he's right. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Filing this one away and destroying it, like the little Christians in my mind. Just like,
fire!
Literally. They're all librarians. So, this is from Gilliam going forward. Quote, Lee wouldn't think about the sprayer accident again until many months later, when an odd-looking scaly lesion popped up above his right knee.
No.
No.
It itched and cracked and oozed.
Ooh.
As time passed, the patch near his knee was matched by another on his arm and another on his torso. Small bumps the size of BB pellets sprouted out of his skin. Lee changed the laundry soap and dryer sheets his family used and tried an assortment of creams, but nothing helped. Dread grew with every new spot that erupted. Eventually, nearly Lee's entire body, including face and scalp, was covered in painful sores. Some became infected, including one on his head.
Oh, God.
So, eventually, he becomes literally disfigured. When he drives his kids to, like, sports practice, their friends are like, what is wrong with your dad? His doctors are puzzled. He lives every day in monstrous pain.
Oh, God.
These lesions show up everywhere, including one on his eyelid for a brief period of time, making it impossible to open his eye without being in pain. He's decaying in front of his family's eyes.
Oh, God, no.
His tattoo, which once read Blessings for the Righteous, is now completely obfuscated by crackling, painful lesions.
Oh, God.
I know. He does a move that is now a classic on this podcast. He calls Monsanto and asks them if their herbicide might have something to do with this.
Right.
Because obviously, as much as you can try to forget, he did not forget it. He's promised that they'll get back to him, which is a huge note for listeners. If you think you've been poisoned, you got to call and ask. Because it's happened like 3 times now on this podcast where that's been like the focal point of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
So if you think you were poisoned, just call someone up and ask. He is eventually diagnosed with skin cancer with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's unable to work at the school, loses his job, makes it seem like he was fired. He just like literally can't work anymore. The disability payments dry up. The median survival rate for his particular condition is about 1.5 years. One morning, while struggling to put his now ill-fitting, oversized clothes over his emaciated body, he tells his wife, I want to die.
Oh.
Troublingly, Monsanto never calls Lee back. And this inspires him to go on a legal journey that is literally the stake in the heart of Monsanto. So how are we doing so far? Little pause, a little emotional break. All right.
I wasn't expecting another body horror episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I think I wrote this later in my notes. We've sort of referenced cancer just like in and out and never really gone into the logistics of what happens when you have cancer.
Yeah.
So I think it's a necessary addendum.
Monsanto caused cancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The central question of the lawsuit that will happen is, did Monsanto fail to warn consumers about the potential side effects of this? Are the side effects caused by the actual thing? And would proper use of this or a foreseeable-ish accident lead to this level of illness? Mm-hmm. A quick reminder, an active ingredient in Roundup is glyphosate, which is formulated by the refining phosphorus in those mines in Soda Spring. Slag. Glyphosate is the active ingredient, but it's not the entirety of Roundup. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the science in these lawsuits will have to do with like glyphosate safety, but there's all these other active ingredients that work and convalesce with each other that also makes it difficult to understand the long-term human effects. Mm. Sitting in an Applebee's somewhere in the South, Lee was explaining to a young hotshot lawyer what's wrong with him.
Okay, $20 apps.
I lived for that detail. I think his name's Tim Miller. My apologies for not writing it down, Tim. He was like embarrassed about his living situation or something. He had like a small apartment, so they decided to meet at the Applebee's, which is awesome. The lawyer who had been prepped beforehand was surprised at the level of disfigurement that Lee suffered. Mm. I'm not going to reproduce Gillum's whole book, but to make a long story short, Lee and the lawyer really click and like each other.
Aw, that's cute.
Lee to this day is like, I love that guy.
Aw, like, friends. Yeah.
The lawyer takes on Lee's case even early on, and he finds gold nuggets like this. Quote, Monsanto scientist Donna Farmer was explaining to her colleagues that an important distinction existed between glyphosate and the formulations in Roundup, which contained mixtures of glyphosate and other chemical agents. She wrote, quote, for example, you cannot say that Roundup is not a carcinogen. We have not done the necessary testing on the formulation to make that statement. The testing on the formulations are not anywhere near the level of the active ingredient, she wrote. Which is telling on herself, right? Mm-hmm. One of the main features of Roundup is, like, so safe you can drink it. I know. And, I mean, it's obviously understandable that people don't drink Roundup. Like, but the point is that, like, your dog, if your dog gets into your garden and eats it, like, your dog's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But she is saying, we've only tested that level of safety on glyphosate, not the entirety of Roundup.
Yeah.
And yet, like, people, like, are making this distinction of Roundup is the safe thing.
Right.
So, already a little nuts. This becomes the base. this like lawsuit and the emails become the basis for Gillum's book. The emails that these lawyers recover are literally astonishing when it comes to the callousness of Monsanto employees deliberately hiding the carcinogenity of Roundup products. Mm. Literally, I'm just cherry picking random parts of the book here. Quote, Tim and Jeff saw one email string as particularly outrageous. In it, Monsanto scientist William Haydens discussed a plan to write scientific journal articles to refute the IARC's glyphosate classification.
IARC?
I don't know and I don't care.
Okay.
Haydens told colleagues that they could ghostwrite specific sections.
No.
As Jeff read the words, his eyes widened. The email went on. Haydens explained how ghostwriting would work, suggesting to his colleagues that they could pay third-party scientists to have their names on the publication, but Monsanto would actually be doing the writing.
What?
The outside scientists would, quote, just edit and sign their names, so to speak. That's what he wrote. In the same email, Haydens pointed out that Monsanto had done the same thing for a study published in 2000 that backed up the safety of the company's products. The revelation was significant because the Williams 2000 paper, which concluded that Roundup was not a health risk, was considered so authoritative that it was cited by the EPA in confirming the safety of glyphosate.
What? This is the same thing that they were doing in the episode before when they were just making up scientists out of nowhere.
Yeah, except they're just ghostwriting. I mean, at this time, they like have real scientists, right. So that way like you can't. It's a little harder to make them up. So like, let's just pay someone. It's just so much easier than having to do like a Nev Schulman. What's his name?
What?
Catfish?
Yeah.
Nev.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Nev.
Ooh. Okay. I've never actually seen, I've only ever read his name and I've only ever read about episodes of Catfish. But yeah, they say it's too hard to do a Nev, so let's do a, let's just pay someone. Throw money at the problem and hope it goes away. So yeah, they like ghost wrote a study on glyphosate that was so important the EPA was like, okay, great. Glyphosate is safe. So I highly recommend Gillum's book because some of the prose is absolutely spectacular in it. In it, she describes a lengthy deposition held by Monsanto lawyers asking Lee specific clerical questions all day while he's going through chemo. Like, he is tired. He cannot deal with this. The details are famously hard for him to remember because of chemo fog, human memory, whatever. So when Lee's lawyer defiantly finishes it and ushers Lee out of the room, Gillum writes, quote, but for today, at least, they were done with these assholes. Done. Which I love when the author, like, includes little tidbits like that. Mm. Or she'll be like, hell, they even blah, 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 blah. It's like a really good book. It's on Scribd, which is how I got it. Oh, also notably, Lee's lawyer had agreed to take on the case pro bono if they lose, but to keep a hefty chunk of money if they win. Mm-hmm. So Lee was like, I'm dying anyways. He again gets a terminal diagnosis in, I think, 2017. Might as well do something good that won't bankrupt my family. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Nice. So you could literally replay any of the previous episodes that involve court in any way and find and replace like this. Mm-hmm. They eat up the plaintiff's time and resources. They talk in scientific circles so as to confuse lay people. Like, they do all the Monsanto tricks. One of the funniest parts of the trial to me is the importance of an email from somebody who's literally the lowest of the low on Monsanto's ranking system. This woman was an entry-level product support specialist, and her emails are the subject of much criticism. So to her manager, on November 11th, 2014, she wrote the following, and I wrote it so small. Quote, spoke with Dwayne Johnson at Redacted, and this is his story. He told me that he works for a school district in... Oh, sorry, I'm completely blacking my face for the video. I just can't read it. So, quote, he told me he works for a school district in California, and about 9 months ago, he had a hose break on a large tank sprayer. This resulted in him becoming soaked to the skin and on his face, neck, head with Ranger Pro. He said he was wearing a white exposure suit and that it went even inside that. A few months after this incident, he noticed a rash on his knee and then on his face and later on the side of his head. He said he changed his laundry detergent, dryer sheets, and used all creams available to him, but nothing seemed to help. His entire body is now covered in... His entire body is covered in this now, and doctors are saying it is skin cancer. He's just trying to find out if he could be related to such a large exposure to Ranger Pro, since he stated that his skin was always perfect until this happened. Yeah, he does.
Always perfect.
Okay, yeah, he is looking for answers. Thanks in advance for your assistance, Patricia Beal, product support specialist. This email and the subsequent exchange proves that folks at Monsanto knew that this happened to him and simply did not follow up. Because, again, they never called him back. Obviously, this isn't a key part of the trial. There's still the science. There's still... other burdens of proof that need to be happening regarding glyphosate. But it made me laugh because I've been Patricia Beal, product support specialist before.
Right.
Like, to think that this email that she just wrote probably on, you know, a normal day or, you know, she was just thinking about dinner that night and was like, I don't know, who's this guy, Dwayne Johnson, blah, blah, blah. Like, that tickles me in a way I can't describe.
Document everything.
Document everything.
Because, like, she didn't have to go into that much detail. Like, she just...
She probably did for her job. I assume it was just very, this is a very customary email to me.
Yeah.
Like, here's the problem. I assume you're going to fix it because you're a manager.
Right, yep. Right, right.
Bang,
sending
bang.
It up the chain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, bang. Do, 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 do. Bang, bang.
I enjoyed it. Do, 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 do. Tell me the reference, though.
I don't know. That's a song.
I know the song. I can't think of the song name now. All right.
I think it's just called Bang, Bang, isn't it?
Probably. The listeners are going to get so mad. I get bang, so bang. Mad when I listen to podcasts and then the people don't know something and I know it. Like,
you're just yelling at your phone.
I'm begging you to pick up a phone and Google it. Yeah. Johnson, mind you, was well aware the entire time that this is happening that he's on borrowed time. Like, he's supposed to die soon. Mm. It's literally concerned that he'll die before he's able to testify before a judge, that people won't see this, like, sickly man before them on the stand. However, because of his terminal diagnosis in 2017, his trial was heavily expedited. In 2018, sitting before lawyers that have been at his side for a year, who've helped him through these painful days, these anxious days, the so sick from chemo he's vomiting days, and his family, Judge Suzanne Bolanos reads the verdict. For the questions that the court was answering, the legalese sort of like, should people expect this product to be safe? Is the manufacturing the reason why it's not safe? Blah, 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 blah. The verdict is unanimously yes. Monsanto is guilty, and the jury awards him $289 million.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's, you know, big caveat.
Right.
It obviously, he's appealed to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's decreased twice to, like, $20 million.
Ugh.
And it's going to be stuck in appeals for a long time. But I want to read what Lee Johnson wrote shortly after. This is in 2018 he wrote this. Quote, "A lot of people ask me what I want to do with my life now. I don't think I'm super... I'm going to cry reading this. Hang on. I gotta prepare emotionally for this. I don't think I'm Superman. I go through these little moments where my head is down and my elbows are on my knees, and I'm asking myself, what am I going to do? But if I can get healthy, not give in to what my doctors say is a terminal situation, if I can get treatments and get closer to a cure, then I see myself doing good things. I would love to start a foundation. And I want to do more with my music and art. I paint with oil or acrylic, and sometimes I do charcoal drawings. I used to be all shiny and a handsome guy, and now I'm all messed up.
Oh.
I feel like if you're sick, you shouldn't hide it, though. Share it with the world, and maybe you can help someone. So much is going on, but the most important thing to me is my boys. I'm just so proud of my boys. I hate to think about dying. Even when I feel like I'm dying, I just make myself move past it. I feel like you can't give in to it, the diagnosis, the disease, because then you really are dead. I don't mess around with the death cloud, the dark thoughts, the fears. I'm planning for a good life."
What a fuck! This guy is fucking cool.
Oh,
what?
And as of 2022, Dwayne Lee Johnson is still alive, baby. Yeah!
He's gonna live forever.
Yes.
I was literally that was gonna be my next question. Yes. That's so cool. I cannot imagine being in his situation and having that kind of attitude and that foresight.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
When people ask him, like, what do you want to happen to Monsanto? What do you want to happen in the future? He's like, I just want labeling. Like, I just want people to know and understand what they could possibly be putting in their body. So, again, despite his months left to live diagnosis in 2017, I'm just marveling. This guy, like, he did what he set out to do, which is live life to the fullest.
That's
and.
So cool.
Ugh. So, yeah, again, bad news. The appeal process, the number slashed $21 million, and like 40% of it's going to go to his lawyers. The title of the article that I read his quotes from is, "I won a historic lawsuit, but may not live to get the money." On September 15th, 2022, so like 3 days ago, which should give you the idea of how on the wire this research was, a Canadian documentary came out about him. It's called Into the Weeds, Dwayne Lee Johnson versus Monsanto Company. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure it's lovely.
Watch party.
Anyways, Johnson v. Monsanto provides a titanic precedent for the upcoming Roundup Ready lawsuits. To give you an idea of the scale, here's a quote from the Canadian Broadcasting Company. Quote, "By the end of 2021, Bayer had allocated approximately $16 billion to U.S. Roundup litigation, addressing roughly 98,000 of the 125,000 cases."
Whoa.
As of February 2022, 28 Canadian lawsuits relating to Roundup have also been served to Bayer.
Wow.
There's a California couple that's awarded $2 billion. And there's plenty of other settlements that happened. That number was also slashed at some point. I know it's kind of cool that, like, people are getting money for this, but imagine the sheer horror that people have had to experience to get that money. I've been reading... This should give you an idea of how fucked up this podcast is. Is for fun, I've been reading Emperor of All Maladies, a biography on cancer. Like, that's what I read.
Damn.
Which I actually have a copy of it with me right here.
Oh, yeah.
Emperor of All Maladies, a biography on cancer.
Oh, there's a little crab in the book.
Yes. It's an enchanting read. And again, it should give you an idea of how fucked up this Monsanto research has been, where it's like, I open this book when I want to have a good time. But anyways... with that book on my mind and reading about Lee Johnson, it was just like, we've talked about rare and bizarre illnesses on this podcast, mm-hmm. but we haven't given much thought to the cancerous elephant in the room. Honestly, I didn't even get into full detail on like how horrific Lee's illness was. And when I picture cancer, I've always pictured like nausea and going bald and being all skinny, like the chemo part of cancer, not mm-hmm. the cancer part of cancer. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, yeah, sometimes I forget that the actual cancer is, like, a disease, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like, it's always struck me as this invisible killer that just comes for you, but mm-hmm. hearing it mm-hmm. be described so viscerally. So, in the book, this is just, like, a quote about cancer that stuck with me from Siddhartha Mukherjee's Emperor of All Maladies, Biography on Cancer. Quote, "Cancer is an expansionist disease. It invades through tissues, sets up colonies in hostile landscapes, seeking sanctuary in one organ, then immigrating to another. It lives desperately, inventively, fiercely, territorially, cannily, and defensively, at times as if teaching us how to survive. To confront cancer is to encounter a parallel species, one perhaps more adept to survival than even we are." And I just feel like it's so, I don't know, visceral. That's been on my mind. So when we talk about all these lawsuits and people getting the money, it's like,
right.
mm. oy vey, the things they had to go through to get that money.
Yeah. Because they're not, like, getting the money as, like, a, like, they're not doing this for fun. Like, mm-hmm. it's literally every single lawsuit has been filed for a reason, and that reason is absolutely horrific.
And to cover debilitating medical bills,
yeah.
you know, like, how much of that is going to go to you getting a vacation? None.
Yeah.
Assuming you get it at all in your lifetime, because right. if you're terminal, good fucking luck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I had to say about that one. Sorry, that was a lot to emotionally process. How are we doing?
Hey! Like, shout out to good people having good thoughts.
Yeah. So it's well deserved victories for people on this one, where that's not been the precedent. So at least people are winning them,
right? Yeah.
Some dubs.
These lawsuits, though, lead us into some interesting territory that I plan on covering next episode, but we'll spend a little bit of time on it right now.
Okay.
The coda to this story, right, is mm-hmm. that Bayer acquires Monsanto, and Monsanto buckles under the weight of the lawsuits combined with public image problems, mm-hmm. struggling market problems, whatever, international bribery scandals, what have you. The main question on my mind was, why would Bayer want a flaming garbage fire like this? Mm-hmm. But the truth is, Monsanto was obviously still doing numbers regardless, and the market in 2016 was leading heavily towards mergers. Dow and DuPont were merging. ChemChina and Syngenta were merging. I'll definitely go over this again next episode, but Bayer was looking to transition away from being a chemical pharmaceutical company into more like life sciences biotech vibe. Very 2016, very yes. Gillum writes the following incredible passage in her book, and forgive the length in advance. Quote, "The CEO of Bayer, Werner Baumann, has been with Bayer since 1988 and was not afraid of litigation. It came with the territory for a major pharmaceutical player. Bayer had been able to settle over 4,000 lawsuits filed against the company over a contraceptive device for only $12 million. 4,000 lawsuits, $12 million of settlement. Not a lot. And was also successfully fending off court cases over its top-selling blood thinner drug, Xarelto. The Roundup litigation might be a nuisance, but it certainly was not a reason to scuttle Bayer's purchase of Monsanto."
Oh, no.
Honey, he's got a storm coming. "At the company's 2018 shareholders meeting in Bonn, Germany, Baumann reassured doubters, enthusiastically telling shareholders that the future was bright. We anticipate being able to close the acquisition of Monsanto in the near future. I've been involved in a lot of transactions during my career," he said. "Viewed from various aspects and overall, I'm convinced this acquisition has very great potential for creating value for our company, our stockholders, and our customers."
Oh.
"As for Monsanto's image issues, Bayer would easily overcome them because its own reputation for the highest ethical, environmental, and social standards. Bauman told all those gathered at the meeting about that. The deal was going to be the biggest acquisition in Bayer's history. It was expected to deliver more than $1 billion a year in new income. There was nothing to worry about, Bauman told the investors. Acquiring Monsanto was something to celebrate. With the necessary regulatory approvals in hand, the German company would officially become the sole shareholder of Monsanto on June 7th of 2018. That same month, in a California courthouse, the very first round of trial would begin.
Oh, no.
So I guess I'm going to leave this one on a little bit of a cliffhanger. Cause this one, I know. It's going to get so stupid.
So, I can't believe Bayer was like, we can handle it.
Yeah, they were real confident going in. And yeah, I would highly recommend listening to episode 8 right after this one because it's going to dovetail so nicely. I'm so excited about it.
Because like, do you, like, how much did Bayer know about?
Amy, I need you to stop these questions.
Okay.
We're trying to spoil everything.
We will go over it and more.
All right.
But the listener's probably asking the same thing, so they're probably going to get so hyped for the next episode. So to conclude this one, like I said in the bovine growth hormone episode, there are people out here fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's sad that Lee didn't pick what happened to him and did not choose to become this admirable person who did this lawsuit, but he chose to spend what he thought were his last days doing this. Mm-hmm. When he's asked, like, what do you want to happen with these lawsuits, again, he's quick to just say labeling. We should know what we're putting into our bodies. We should know the risks. We should be aware of the science. And there's a photo of him. It's in black and white, so it's probably not going to be as affecting to the two of you. But it's him finding out that it was unanimously guilty on Monsanto on all accounts. This is him finding out, and he's just crying. And it makes me sad and happy. So his eyes, his spirit, his life, his legacy continue to inspire me. And again, speaking of legacies, the next episode will be about Monsanto's legacy. And maybe a little award ceremony is in order. Here is a picture of my sources that I have leaned into the bit.
Just a picture of Megan Thee Stallion.
Wow, that highlighter's popping. Even in black and white,
even in black and white.
It's really good.
So, how are we doing?
Almost I like that we got three fucking, the horsemen of death.
Yeah. The Mayan women. The Mayan mom on Facebook. Lee Johnson.
Three fucking all-star warriors out here coming in clutched to bring them down.
A beekeeper, a random lady from California, and a groundskeeper. Also from California.
Wow. Shout out to California.
Shout out to California. Shouts. All right. Well, we're almost done, y'all.
Wow.
I know. I'm going to miss this time we had together.
Yeah.
I'll never see either of you again.
Come to the live show.
Oh, fuck. I keep forgetting to say it. I even chose to release episodes on this season twice a week so I could say come to the live show, and I always fucking forget. Yeah. Anyways, go to the live show, please.
When is it, Christian?
It's October 1st. It's on my birthday, Saturday, October 1st at the Lincoln Lodge, 5:30 p.m. in the big room. A bunch of people have already bought tickets. A bunch of you who I don't know, like, personally. So it's really cool that fans have already bought tickets.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to every single shift, the last four shifts, somebody has come and has been like, I know who you are.
That's threatening.
It's charming and endearing. They go, how do I know you? And I say, do you have TikTok? And it's like, oh, that's how I know you. But several of them have been like, I listen to the podcast, too. And I'm like,
wow, you're a star.
A rising starlet, one would say.
Can you say podcast again?
Podcast.
Just like the way you say it.
I'm from Ohio. Okay, also, follow Blender Bluid on everything. Recently, a listener was like, I don't know Blender Bluid's identity, and I feel like I should, which I love. Live, laugh, and love.
Shouts.
So follow Blender Bluid on everything. Catch some of her upcoming shows. Where are you playing at?
Palmer Square, October 1st.
During the day, and then come to mine after that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Amy, anything to plug on your way out?
No.
Fair.
Oh, and I'll be at the Martin on September 23rd, if this comes out.
This might come out like September 22nd, I think.
Yeah, well, too late.
Or after that. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know my own release schedule. Anyways, all right. Well, we're almost at the home stretch, so tune into this next episode to find the dramatic conclusion of Monsanto.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh. Goodbye.
Bye.